When something comes up to me, he don't even try. 'Cause if I had a set of wings, man, I know she could fly. She's my little blue scoop. You don't know what I got.
Good morning. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And when you hear a little Deuce Coupe, you know it's time for the Car Care Show with our friends from Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. The Chartels are in the house. Dad, Ken Sr., and Ken Jr. Kenny, right. Good morning, guys, along with Howard Seaton, who is one of our ADX marketing consultants. Good morning, Howard.
Morning. Morning, gentlemen.
Okay. Good morning, Miss Meg. How are you doing today? It's a pleasure to be here.
Pretty good. So let's tell everybody what Affordable Automotive is all about, because some folks might be listening in and have not met you before. And tell us a little bit about your company.
Absolutely. For those just tuning in, welcome, and we're glad you're here to the Car Care Show, sponsored by Affordable Automotive. My father and I have been doing the show a couple weeks now. More than that.
Longer than
and,
that now.
And a few episodes.
A few episodes, but we've been in business for over 30 years. My father started it back in 95, and we've been just serving the Gulf Coast for over 30 years, foreign and domestic. We do everything major and minor repairs, from in AC systems to oil changes to engine replacements, heaven forbid. But those things do happen too. And so, but we leave the tires and exhaust to other automotive specialty shops, and we're here always to take care of your vehicles whenever in need. And, of course, we're located about a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. Of course, you can reach us at 850-932-0811 and call, schedule an appointment today. If you're having that engine light or check, you know, any issue that may be happening with your car. So,
okay. So we're talking with the Chartels, who are the owners of Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. This is the Car Care Show. And so what that means is you can text in your car care questions at 850-437-1620. And Kenny's so good. He always comes in with some topics to cover. And so I know today, this is the one that gets me every time. The scary engine light.
Yes.
When that comes on.
What are those engine lights and those other lights on my dashboard, and what do they mean? You know, when it lights up like a Christmas tree and you're headed down the highway to an appointment or something that you need to be at, that's when it always happens and your anxiety is at its highest.
Exactly.
So that doesn't help me.
Well, no,
I already
know
about the anxiety part. How do I get rid of that anxiety, guys?
Well, I guess the difference would be, you know, which lights mean stop now, which ones mean I can, you know, caution and warning and make it, you know, to my driveway, and then, you know, do a little more research and maybe call your automotive repair shop like us at Affordable Automotive.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously there's a dozen or more computers monitoring all of these systems, and with that, each one, you know, looks at certain things, whether that's your airbag system, you know, for your restraint and safety features, whether it's for your brake system, for your anti-lock brakes, while we don't have to deal with snow. Those who are driving right now, these slippery roads in the rain, your ABS is very important. And when you have an engine light or an ABS light, that can and sometimes does disable that system. So in the event of, obviously, that's a problem that needs to be addressed. And so there are various lights that can come on your dash. And one we probably are more familiar with is that low fuel tire light and the engine light, if that comes on and off. But, you know, outside of that, there are a few more there. And I guess we're going to just talk about the differentiation between those and others. So,
well, I guess my question would be, what is the lights that come on that I need to address immediately, and then which ones is it really okay to wait a little bit?
Well, that really depends. Again, you know, a check engine light can come on, and that can actually cause an ABS light or the traction control light to work.
When you because say ABS light, what are you talking
anti-lock
about?
Anti-lock brakes.
Okay. Anti-lock brakes are what keep you from skidding to a stop, and the anti-lock brakes keep you, well, from skidding, so they allow those brakes to slowly roll you down safely.
You can get more traction when the tire's turning than when the tire is not turning.
Okay. Okay. Well, I always have to ask about the acronyms, because everybody's got different ones in their industries.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's true.
Know, so and for those who don't.
And they drive me nuts.
There you go. So again, which of the lights are the really serious ones, would you say?
Well, I'd say definitely one of those top ones. Again, that engine light, if that pops on, that's obviously a concern. The computer, the engine, there's something there that it didn't like, and there's a fault. When that engine light starts blinking at you, though, that is definitely a time to pull over to the side of the road, really, you know, at that point in time, you need to pull the vehicle over because something, either a misfire or detrimental inside of the engine or electrical system, is happening at that point and causing it just not to run well. And when it's blinking at you, that's saying, hey, you've got no more time. We need to stop.
I have got a real bad fault when it's blinking at you.
Okay, yeah, that's good to know.
Doesn't mean that it's going to be an expensive repair.
Right.
It just means that it's seeing a really bad fault and it doesn't like it.
And so it's an immediate repair.
It's like, yeah, get it ASAP.
Okay, 850-437-1620. If you've got a question, now's the time to send it in. And here are experts from Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze.
So I guess one way to put it, you know, a solid engine light is definitely something worth scheduling an appointment for. A blinking engine light is certainly something worth stopping immediately for, because you don't want to go any farther that, you know, you can do other damage to other components on the vehicle. You know, and don't ignore it. Don't hope it goes away. These computers are smart enough to know, and these vehicles have so much going on that if that light is tripped, there's usually a reason why. Big or small, it's definitely worth getting looked at on something like that.
And on the engine light, too, like I was saying earlier, that can also cause other systems to shut down.
Oh, really?
So if it doesn't like something the way the engine's running, it's going to shut down the anti-lock brakes or the skid control. It'll shut those things down because if the engine can't perform the way it should, then neither can these other subsystems.
Okay, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
So going back a couple of years, not too many, but, you know, in today's world, we have basically a big computer as our instrument cluster. And back in the day, we had an instrument cluster that gave you a few things. You had oil pressure, you had fuel level, you had speed. You had RPM. You may have even had a vacuum gauge on some of these older vehicles. And so, as you probably remember growing up, those were all important gauges. If your father or whomever, if that's in the red, stop, you know. And today, those are still important, but they're just not as visible as they once were. You know, and one way to kind of look at what your vehicle's lights are and what they, you know, where they may be located at on your instrument cluster is simple. Just hop in your vehicle and turn that ignition to that on position. And of course, that does a quick check on that instrumentation, you know, that cluster, and it should pop up all the lights that are equipped in that vehicle, you know, whether it be low oil pressure, ABS, engine lights, and kind of where those are. So that way you have an idea of where that light goes. You know, and when it comes on, obviously it does a systems check, and then it shuts off after that.
And that systems check happens basically in a blink of an eye. So you're not; those lights will then go off.
Right.
One, once the engine started, not always will they go. You know, they'll even go off sometimes after it's done its system check and it says, okay, we're good, even if you haven't started it. So... But then once the engine starts, you want to see all those lights go off.
Absolutely.
So knowing where those are and what they mean, too, is also, you know, worth discovering as far as information goes. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. Ken and Kenny Chartel are here. And I had a question for you guys that I was thinking about as we're looking at this radar. We've got lots of heavy rain coming in, possibly some tropical storm-ish type weather and wind. And that usually means some flash flooding and things like that. So my first thought was, when I drive through that deep water and the engine light comes on, that's probably not a good sign, right?
Go around the deep water.
do you have any tips for this time of year on ways to protect your car in this kind of weather?
Don't drive through the deep water.
Yeah, that's a good one. Number one.
Number one, don't drive through the deep water.
Gotcha.
You know,
and sometimes you don't know it's deep. That's the thing. It's deceptive.
True.
So be careful.
Yep. That is very true. So, because now that water, yes, even though the wiring and stuff have what they call weather pack connectors, but that's just meant to keep moisture out and rain out, not to be submerged. You know, your car is not a submarine. So,
and with the electrical on it,
contrary to popular belief, okay,
no, exactly,
it's not yellow either.
It is one of those other things to keep in mind too. Would be the windshield wipers. Obviously,
I was just thinking about that.
You
yes.
know, unfortunately, on our way here, it's been a few days.
Or yes, week, Kenny, you know, you need new windshield wipers.
So even you, Kenny,
even me.
Yes.
So you know, as a mechanic, sometimes you find out when you're in need, in the time of need. So for those that don't, check those wiper blades. Make sure they're good before you start getting into this wet weather, especially as we come into this wet season and tropical weather as it's happening all around us, obviously. And so those windshield wipers are a big thing, too. You got to be able to see out the windshield. Drive straight.
And we only think of windshield wipers when we turn them on.
Of course. Of course. And it's been so dry this summer. We haven't probably used them much, to be honest.
No, that's true. And so you don't think about it. So then you turn them on, and there are the streaks, and you can't see out the window. And there's nothing worse than a downpour when you can't see out the window.
I know. And we do have another question that just came in on the text line. Do they work with the extended warranty companies like Endurance, etc.?
Well, while there are a lot of insurance companies, aftermarket stuff for that, we don't really get into that kind of work. Those are, you know, as nice as they are, we've found the fine print can sometimes, you know, make an angry customer as such. And
yes.
Unfortunately, the insurance companies, as we all know, aren't sometimes fair. And so on our end, we've not accepted much. We had a couple at one point, but it's not something we generally
accept. So probably a case-by-case basis.
Case-by-case is typically how we look at
that. The problem with those type of companies and stuff like that is they're only going to fix what is needed. So now you have to take something apart to get to this other part that they are going to fix, where it would be a good idea to replace this gasket or this part, being it's off anyway. They won't cover that.
Okay, that makes sense.
And we have to put the old part on, and then now all of a sudden, you know, a month down the road, you've got a leak. Well, it's that part that really should have been replaced when we took it apart before, but you can't get those people to...
That's in the fine print that they won't cover that
right.
part of it. So, you know, there's a lot of stipulation with that. And as a recommendation, while we're on the topic, you know, for any customer out there in the market for buying a new car, be mindful of those aftermarket warranties. Make sure you read the fine print. It doesn't cover maintenance costs. You know, these things don't cover, you know, brakes and systems,
belts.
You know, belts and oil
windshield
changes.
Windshield wipers.
Windshield wipers, things like
Speaking
that.
Speaking of which.
So, you know, and obviously when there are other failures on the vehicle, which there are going to be, doesn't matter the make or model, at which point you just need to look and see, is that radiator going to be covered under that warranty? And unfortunately, a lot of times it's not. So, you know, while you think it may be good, it's worth always having a second look at that that policy.
Okay, great advice from our experts with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. And this is a text-in show, 850-437-1620. It's the Car Care Show. So we got another text came in from one of our listeners that we were talking about the check engine light previously. I had check engine light come on and had a diagnosis to check on, and then it came back as O2 sensor issue. What is this? I'm with you on that. What is this?
What is an O2, Father? Can you explain this to us?
And how serious is it to let it go, or can I let it go for a while? A person after my own heart.
How long can we let this go?
What is it, and can I let it go?
Well, an oxygen sensor basically is the final thing for the computer to see how well it performed. Did it put enough fuel in the engine? Was it too rich? Was it too lean? And so the oxygen sensor is basically the last sensor it sniffs the exhaust and it reports back to the computer, hey, you did good this time. Oh, you're a little rich this time. Oh, you're a little lean.
You added too much fuel when you're too rich.
Oh.
You know? So that's obvious. You know,
that's basically what an oxygen sensor does. So it's the final check for the computer.
And is that the check for gas?
Well, it's basically for your emissions. You know, what's coming out the tailpipe? Is there raw fuel coming out? Is it too lean, which is then too many hydrocarbons? And, you know, so that's basically what that does. It's the final check for it. So, yes, it is important because if it can't report back to the computer and say, hey, you're running rich, and the computer doesn't know this because the sensor's not working right, well, now you're burning through a lot more fuel than you normally would. Again, it's the final check. So without that O2 working correctly, it does affect fuel economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two parts of an O2 sensor. There's what they call a heated part, and then there's the actual sensor that's sensing the exhaust. Now, a lot of times what we see is the the light will come on, the check engine light. It'll trip a O2 code or oxygen sensor code, but it's for the heater circuit. And the heater circuit inside there, because an oxygen sensor only works once it gets good and warm. So
like 900 degrees warm.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And it's got to be hot for it to work and mm-hmm. work correctly. So they want to heat this O2 or oxygen sensor up. And so it's got a heater built into it. And what we see failing the most on them is the heater part of the oxygen sensor. And so when that fails, it takes longer for that oxygen sensor to get online, because now the exhaust has to get it to that 900, 1,000 degrees.
Mm.
And that takes a little bit longer. So the longer that O2 is not online, the...
Poor fuel economy, maybe a rougher running.
Right.
Obviously, that engine light is going to be tripped as well. So, you know, the O2, and yes, the computer is doing a check. Basically a check and balance on itself mm-hmm. every time you start that vehicle. So while one morning you get in there cold and fired up and there's no engine light, well, that heater or O2 sensor part must have came online and started working good enough for the computer to give it a thumbs up and pass a test. And then the next morning, obviously, it just was moving a little slower. It didn't have its coffee like it needed. And the next thing you know, you got an engine light on. So, mm-hmm. you know, we call that a lazy sensor sometimes, or mm-hmm. as Pops pointed out, you know, if that heater circuit isn't working, then that can cause that too.
Now, if it's just a heater circuit, yes, you can keep going on that for a little bit, because the O2 sensor, after it does get warm, it is working correctly.
Oh, okay.
It's just not getting hot enough fast enough for the computer. So
will that diagnostic light, will it stay on and remain on until you go in there and reset it?
Yes, for the most okay. part it will.
Now, the light may go out, but the code will stay.
The code will stay.
Code stays, okay. Yep.
Because it has to see so many, what they call a drive cycle. And usually it takes 50 drive cycles of no problems, and then the computer will automatically turn off the light. If it sees one more time within that 50 times,
nope.
that light's staying on.
Okay, very, very good question. 850-437-1620. Let's see, we've got a question in from Janet, who's one of our regular listeners here at Pep Talk. Brakes, do the Kens,
yes.
I love it, do the Kens recommend fully coated rotors versus OEM for our high humidity and a local road stop and go driving style with ceramic pads?
Well, we definitely, you know, on the rotors themselves, they make what they call drilled and slotted, and, you know, they're for cooling and stuff like that. But as for the pads, we try to stick, it's good to stick with the ceramic style pads. One, they don't dust as much, they don't squeal as much, and they do last a little longer. They don't dust out your wheels like, you know, where your front wheels where they get all black.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, it all depends on, of course, what we're driving. Obviously, if we're in a C8 Corvette, we're going to want some big Brembos drilled and slotted brake rotors. But if I'm in my 92 Honda Accord, I'm not really looking for that kind of performance. So do I need to spend $1,200 on a front brake set of Brembo ceramic coated rotors, etc.? Excuse my extravagance there, but my point being is,
right.
what are we using it for? Where are our conditions? Are we on the beach? Are we constantly facing a rusting rotor situation where I'm grinding going out, you know, in that first stop when I hit the brakes and I hear that, because every night you're sitting in that, in our moist environment,
right.
you know, and that, that clean metal surface, like all of us know, builds up rust real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so that causes a noise. So again, it depends on what we're doing with it. What are our conditions? So
mm-hmm.
as Pops pointed out, yeah, ceramic pads all the way. Again, your rotors, how much do you want to spend? And at the end of the day, is it needed, you know? And so it's always a case by case thing.
But you could probably bring your vehicle in to Affordable Automotive.
We'd be happy to take a look at it for
advice,
you.
Advice, right?
And if you wanted something a little bit upgraded as far as what the OEM had recommended, by all means, we have no problem doing that too. Again, it's something we can look at. And if you want to schedule an appointment, just give us a shout at 850-932-0811.
And where are you located in case someone's just tuning in?
We're over there by the Gulf Breeze Zoo, so a friendly landmark. We're 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. Again, mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo.
Okay.
Right there on the corner.
And what are your hours and when are you all open?
Well, we're Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and you can find us there and schedule an appointment anytime, and we'll be happy to get your car in as soon as possible. So,
all right, 850-437-1620. This is Pensacola Expert Panel in the Car Care Show, because these guys are definitely car care experts. So I had another question in that I kind of relate to, because there are no dumb questions on this show.
No,
and
none.
This one says, what is the difference between yellow lights and red lights on your dash?
Red lights usually mean stop.
Warn.
So it's the same as the lights
light
on the street.
Means,
is that what
you're
telling?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. Slow. Amber is slow down.
Right.
Think about this. You need to get a check real soon.
Okay. So the yellow is more of a warning, and the red is more of an urgent.
Yes. If something's popping up red, like your oil pressure will pop up red, your coolant temp will pop up red. Those are
ABS.
Sometimes the ABS will pop up red too. So.
Yeah, so you're going to have a couple different colors on your instrument cluster lights, and green. Obviously, you're going to have
green means go.
Green is good.
Good to go.
You know, green is good to go, and then you're going to have that amber light, that caution, and then that red one, that warning light. And you know, as far as that goes, that's general across the board. So again, red for whatever system, be it engine, brakes, my gas is low. That's a red light. Or
that's amber.
Yellow. That's an amber.
Yeah, that's amber.
That's amber. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nevertheless, you need to keep an eye on those and not just ignore them. They will not go away.
No, they won't.
Okay. I have another question that came in. What about tire pressure with this weather? Should it be higher or lower?
I always recommend what the manufacturer puts in their door sticker. When you open that driver's door, there's a sticker in there, and that will tell you your tire size, and it tells you how heavily you can load the vehicle, and it also gives you a tire pressure.
Do you think it should be a little higher or lower when you're talking about this kind of humidity and the wet roads?
Wet roads.
Well,
say that three times fast. Is that a factor in how much tire pressure you should have in the summer?
No, not really, because you still want to keep within. If you have too much air pressure in it, then you're going to be riding on the center of the tire. So the edges of the tire, and there's not much on the pavement there, you know, about an inch worth, you know, that you contact of the pavement. So if you're overinflated, the tire is going to grow bigger, if you want to call it that, and you're going to ride on the center part of the tread of the tire.
Losing traction, of
losing
course.
Losing traction.
Because less footprint is on the ground. Mm-hmm. Now you're riding with less.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
And too low of an oil air pressure, now you're riding just on the edges of the tire, and the center is not touching the road of the tire. So again, loss of traction, and so
again, that door sticker is pretty important, because you have to remember the manufacturers base those pressures on that tire size with the calculated weight of the vehicle, and they figure that 32, 36, 38, or 40 in some of your European cars, which every manufacturer runs a little different, is generally a great, a good tire pressure to go off of.
A rule of thumb, though, is 30 to 35 is safe pressure.
A healthy tire.
Yeah, it's a safe pressure.
You're not overinflated and you're not underinflated.
Okay. Got about a minute left, gentlemen. Anything you want to touch on before we go?
Well, we were watching this tropical weather, and we were talking a little bit about hurricane tips, and I think that's important for us all to be on our toes as the hurricane season has started, and our friends to the east are getting a little bit of that west are getting a little bit of that tropical weather. But, you know, some things to remember before we have a storm impact us. Remember, keep those fuel tanks about half full during this hurricane season. The first thing that we start running low on is fuel at these gas stations. So, you know, try to keep a good half a tank in that fuel tank, so that in the event of you're not scurrying just to get some fuel, remember that emergency kit, flashlights, check those wiper blades, Dan.
Yes. Yes.
That battery is fully charged, and you should be good to go.
Okay, what's that number and website one more time?
Oh, of course, be sure to call us at 850-932-0811. Find us at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo, and we'll be here to take care of you.
All right, thank you, Ken and Kenny. We appreciate all you do.
Thank you, Nick.
This has been the Car Care Show with Affordable Automotive and Gulf Breeze.